I'd like to welcome Sean D. Tucker.
Well, thank you very much. I am absolutely excited to be here. I got to fly yesterday, and I had a blast. I went out and practiced this morning, and it's early in the morning, and I just was giggling. I mean, number one, I'm flying a brand new airplane that I've just learned how to fly. Got about 300 flights in it, but I'm just having a blast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just so much fun. So I'm honored to be performing at EAA, of course, and it's actually my 18th year.
Congratulations. It's quite a streak for a performer.
It's quite a streak, yeah.
Tell us about your new airplane.
Well, the airplane is a combination of a lot of things, really principally designed by Steve Wolf, who is just a master. And then Tony Horvath built it, who mentored Steve, and then my team put it all together, Brian Norris and Clyde Green, and it's got a 3D tail. It's up at the Lycoming display right now, and it is actually the first full-scale airplane flying a 3D tail, and it's really interesting, and it's very difficult to fly because of the sensitivity of the tail. Now it's nuanced. It's just really soft, tender touches, as you will say. You know, when you're twirling and spinning an airplane through the sky, you just don't put the input in. You actually have to finesse it because you're using the gyroscopic envelope in terms of the propeller and the gyroscopics of the engine, and then you combine that with aileron and elevator and rudder. You have to do it at certain airspeeds and very subtle touches to make it work, or the maneuver doesn't work. Well, I'm learning how to do it, and it's making me, I call it a giggler, because now I've gone through the process of learning to fly the airplane safely, and it's taken a long time. I'm only on my fifth show with 300 air flights. Now I can start pushing the envelope and really understanding the aerodynamics of the flying machine, and the maneuvers that I was not comfortable performing at the airshow altitudes, I'm comfortable performing now at those altitudes, and they're working every single time. I have my outs, and it's just really fun.
So you're an instructor, and you mostly tell your students very small control movements, and you're finding out about this new airplane as well.
Well, I have some great instructors at the school, and I'm a good mentor. I'm just learning still how to be an instructor, and that's going to be, I think, my next career. I have this wonderful aerobatic flight school called Tutema Academy Aviation Safety in King City, and my instructors are the best in the world. We only teach aerobatics. We only teach spin training. I really believe flying machines need to be touched. Flying machines need to be almost caressed to make them do what they need to do, because if they're designed correctly, the designers put that ability in the machine to do it, and you just have to nudge the machine to get the most out of it. Specifically, like this machine, if I especially going into the arena, when you're entering the airshow arena, and I have well over 1,000 live performances, and you enter the arena, you really get jacked up. I mean, you really are fired up, and I don't care how many, because it's performance. It's coming from your heart. It's coming from it's your passion. It's everything you practice for. And it's very much unlike practice. Practice, you're calm. Nobody's watching. And at practice, I'm at airshow altitudes, and I practice 3 times a day. I mean, I practice a lot because I love the process. But when you enter the arena, you get G'd up. The adrenaline gets going, and you start pulling more G's than you should, and the performance suffers. And that's one of my biggest problems, is because I remember yesterday I'm getting called into the box, and it's that first pull. I just got to, for some reason, pull 9 G's on that first pull. Well, and I've done this thousands of times, but I still get so amped up about having the opportunity to dance in the sky and share that magic that it takes me a while to settle down. And yesterday was a pretty hot day, density altitude issues, the more G you pull, the less performance you got. So you're right, it's touch. And so, and with this flying machine, I not only have to touch it, I have to release it to get its energy. And what's so cool about the design, I've never been in a biplane before that moves so quickly when you want it to. It's like releasing the reins on a horse and say, let's go, girl. And away she goes, you know. And I get an extra 20 miles an hour like that within a second and a half, it seems like, and it's flying again. And then it really starts picking up speed.
Well, to the listening audience, talked about amped up. Am I supposed to do this interview standing up with you? He's bouncing up and down off his chair. He's really excited. So
they have to buckle me down in the airplane.
So I got to get ratcheted down. Come on down and see Sean Tucker perform this interview, seated and standing. You have this.
Sorry, I only had two cups of coffee. I woke up at 5:30.
This airplane's 400 horsepower.
Just about, yeah.
Just about 400. Mm-hmm. Weighs only 1,200 pounds.
Yeah.
But it goes 300 miles an hour.
Straight down, yeah. Yeah. Cruising, you know, it's still a biplane. Cruising, you know, I think full throttle, I'm about 2.25, which is fast for a biplane. Cruising, we're cruising 165, 170 knots. I think it'll go faster. But it's a biplane. I don't think I want to take it any faster, but I think she'd go faster. You know, and remember, it's an experimental airplane. And I preface that by saying that I love Steve Wolf and everything, but I'm kind of the test pilot on the airplane. You really have to balance how much performance you need with safety as well. I'd like to make the airplane lighter, but I like having all these extra wires, and I like having all the redundancies that we do have with a biplane, and we're now as fast as any monoplane out there, and now can do these front flips like monoplanes. And I just can't wait for the next, I'll have a total of probably 1,000 flights this year, and I can't wait for the next 700.
So. You talked about the speed. How important is speed in any aerobatic maneuver?
Well, what's really important in an air show aerobatic maneuver is altitude. And we trade altitude, airspeed for altitude all the time. Speed is life. When you take all your energy when you're low to the ground and you zoom it up into the sky, by doing that, you're getting lots of altitude. And if you see most of the performers out here, we kind of zoom low straight and level, and we kind of zoom low upside down. But when we're going up is when we're doing our cool tumbles, when we're going up or when we're arcing across the sky. So really, altitude is your friend, and all of us airshow performers have critical altitudes on making decisions. The worst maneuver you can get into in an airshow is an inverted flat spin. I can get out in 600 feet. So I make sure anything that could get me in an inverted flat spin, I'm at least 1,000 feet. I got 400 feet of margin. So we really practice risk management, you know, but so airspeed is important. A lot of the gyroscopic maneuvers you have to do below 60 miles an hour. A little backflip. I hit it at 100, but I got zero airspeed here, and I floated a little bit, and then I use the precession of the motor to have it flip around. Then I want it to sink. Altitude is a key. When I'm flying, I'm always looking outside, and the only two things I really look at inside all the time is my airspeed. Do I got my numbers? If I got my numbers, I can do the maneuver. Do I have my altitude? If I have my altitude, I can do the push. And Charlie Hillard taught me a long time ago, Leo Lautenschlager. Do you guys remember those guys? The greatest of the greats, you know? And they taught me a long time ago that never abuse a privilege by breaking your rules. And Leo was the greatest trainer I ever had. We used to practice together, and he was so precision and on it. I mean, he did it. And if he ever, you know, and I was a young guy, younger, now I'm an older guy, but he really instilled in me the discipline to not abuse the privilege of your numbers. And so airshow performers have numbers, and we have critical numbers, and if you don't abide by those rules, you might get away with it today, and you might get away with it tomorrow, but you are a dead man walking. And my job as a mentor, as an ace, is it's all peer review on our flying. If we see somebody abusing those numbers, and each person has a different skill set, we go up to them, we talk to them, and mentor them, because we're all doing this for the same reasons. We love flying, but you get so engaged with this notion. It's such an intoxicating, compelling thing to perform. It's just, it's unbelievable the state of grace that we get out of being a performer, that you could sometimes get it carried away, and then you get dangerous. And so we really got to pay attention to that.
Well, let's finish up. Let's talk about those outs that you mentioned earlier, about planning your escape routes out of the maneuvers. Do you have an escape route no matter where you are in each maneuver?
Every single maneuver I have an escape route. I think some of the maneuvers, I'm going to do a hard landing. At the Harrier Pass, I used to do it really, really low. Loved it. Everybody loved it. And then Bob Hoover came up to me and said, "My dear friend, you're magnificent. But you keep doing that Harrier Pass the way you are, you're going to bust your buttons." And I listened to him. And I think that was a test from Bob. He's one of my dearest friends now. And actually, put him in your prayers. He's got some, he couldn't make it this, I talk to him once a week. I mean, this guy is just an incredible hero that we have. And he's got some issues with fluid on his body, and he's working on it. So put him in your prayers, because we don't want to lose this guy. But he tested me to see if I'd listen to him. And once I passed the test, I got to join his club. And that's the club of I Respect You as a Human Being club. And over the years, our relationship has grown, and the respect and trust and love has grown because I passed his test.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Sean D. Tucker in just a moment, because he still has at least one more cup of coffee to work through. So he's got a little more energy. So when we come back, more with Sean D. Tucker from the Welcome Center. This is EA Radio Live.